Are You Playing?
Hello, and welcome to What the Bleep Are You Playing? A podcast where we play a game many times bad and tell you why the bleep we played it. I am Packaged with Sean. This is A. Thomas V. And now with online play, Mason. And we played... ATV, Off-Road Fury 2, for the PlayStation 2.
I would make the worst console. I'd be the worst console anyone could.
So you're going to be the new 7-Eleven Tetris?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like...
Slushy console?
What was the console in, like, the early 80s that, like, nobody wanted?
Most of them.
That would be me. I'm the Intellivision of
the Odyssey.
Yes, I'm the Odyssey 2.
So you might be wondering what we're doing with the sixth goddamn racing game this season.
Is it really
six? It is. We've done so many racing games.
You guys are welcome.
Partly Mason, but we've all contributed in some capacity to this.
That's right, because Split Second was this season, right?
And mm-hmm. Split Second and Muppets Race Mania.
And Muppets Race Mania. I mean, that was you.
We're counting Big Bumpin'. Sean contributed, and that's seven.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, there you go. It's not just me.
Yes, but also most of yours are racing games this season.
We bumped up a bit with scheduling stuff, and we weren't really sure how many episodes we were going to get out, so we decided what would be easy to play and quick to play. And so we did a lot of racing games this season. There's the peek behind the curtain of why we did racing games this season.
And also just because I love racing games.
Yeah. For the Mason is defaultly in a car, and that car might be Lightning McQueen at all times.
Yeah.
Anyway, ATV Off-Road Fury 2. As you can tell from the intro, this was a game that was actually packaged with a couple PS2 consoles, specifically PS2 consoles that came with that online adapter.
That was the big thing, because obviously Xbox had come out with online play and blown the world away and like, oh my gosh, we can play video games online, and PlayStation had to respond. Nintendo was like, online?
What does that mean?
No, the kids don't like that. We're going to continue doing what we're doing. But PlayStation did respond with their own online capabilities, but the PS2, there was like a little box that went on the back of it that you could plug in your link cable or your internet cable. The PlayStation package, which I got, which came with ATV Off-Road Fury 2, came with a disc as well that was all about setting up your online. I don't think I ever did, but so I have all your online, and then you had a pamphlet of get Final Fantasy XI. Everyone loves it. What do you mean no one? What? It's gone.
Poof.
Like
an angel's kiss.
But that was something that was really interesting because PlayStation didn't really figure out online until midway through the 3, really.
Yeah.
Even then, it might even be till the 4 that they finally figured it out. Like, the 3 had a lot of, like, library online stuff, things that, you know, you could download classic games, buy for cheap, things like that. Things that, you know, like the Wii U and the 3DS would absolutely have amazing features of later on.
Yeah. But when it came to, like, playing games through online,
it wasn't... You bought an Xbox.
Yeah.
Yes.
You bought an
Xbox. Mm-hmm. Yes. Exactly.
But this was big because this was a franchise, ATV Off-Road Fury.
Furry?
That's a different game.
That's a very different game.
We got like
The Yiffmobile. ATV Off-Road Fury was a series. It was popular, but then, you know, they decided to transfer it over. They packaged it with that online play because that's where they figured it would
go. And packaging it with the PlayStation with that was a good idea. A lot of people played it. This was a very popular game, well-reviewed game. This is a good game. We're probably going to tangent a bunch because it's us, but this was a pretty fun.
There's not much to this game.
There's not a lot to this game. It is very much, there's no story. There's no epic journey of your writer.
Mm-hmm.
You're just kind of a guy on an ATV or a gal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even if Mason did not realize the difference between men and women, you know, Mason actually set the precedent back. Young Mason was like, there's no gender. Gender doesn't exist.
Wow, you're really progressive. Or dumb.
It was just dumb. I just saw the two different writers that you could pick, and I was like, oh, big writer, small writer.
You're either
tits.
I couldn't see them.
You're really progressive. Or you just don't see women, so you're actually really...
Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no.
So, this is actually... Sorry, we were playing this, and I said this was the second game we played from Rainbow Studios, the studio that made it. It's actually the third game we've played from Rainbow Studios.
Oh, really?
Second game this season with Mason, but I picked a game last season from Rainbow Studios. What? Star Wars Racer's Revenge.
Yeah, that's okay. Right. Okay.
So this is our third Rainbow Studios game. And again, they made racing games. We've talked about it before. They made racing games. They have a few other here and there. Like they made a Tiger Woods game in 2000. They really didn't start getting into the racing game until they really worked with Motocross Madness in 98. Motocross Madness 1 and 2 for the Windows. Mm-hmm. But their real breakthrough was ATV Off-Road Fury on the PlayStation 2 in 2001, and then its follow-up, ATV Off-Road Fury 2, in 2002. They had a big year in 2002. ATV Off-Road Fury 2, Matt Hoffman's Pro BMX 2, which I played that game, or at least rented it at one point, and then Star Wars Racer's Revenge. So,
wow.
2002 was a big year. Then they would just continue making ATV games, MX versus ATV games, from then until
the sun burns out of the sky.
With an occasional sprinklings of Cars games in the middle. But in a lot of ways, this game, it controls very similar to Cars.
I'd say it controls better.
I think it does, actually.
It's very different. Mm-hmm. Because you just said it's similar, and I'm saying it's very different. Yeah, call me.
Similar controls, different style, yeah, so it makes it a different experience.
Similar ways you press the buttons, different way it handles.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because it's very different handling, I guess I should
mm-hmm.
say.
It was a little bit of a learning curve to get a hang of because I wasn't expecting them to turn so tight, those ATVs, and they, man, you can turn on a dime, I guess, in those.
Yeah, I mean, that's how ATVs are.
Mm-hmm.
Take it from someone who rode an ATV when he was like 8
mm-hmm.
and wow. nearly crashed.
I tried to ride some ATVs when I was when my grandpa got like a four wheeler, and it was more of a farm four wheeler than like, you know, something nice like this. But you know, we like would play it and we're and I was like, ooh, look how cool I am, and then I'd stop riding it. And
yeah, no, I felt like the coolest motherfucker on mine.
It's true.
Totally not acknowledging that my dad was actually the one driving.
I mean, in fairness, games like this, you'd play anytime I'd get on a riding lawnmower. This is that type of feeling. You're like, oh, yeah, it's like this, you know, you're like that cool, you know. So I get the feeling of like the coolness of an ATV. So like just saying right now that I can see why this game is popular simply because ATVs are cool.
Yeah, that's fair.
They are cool, and it's fun to ride them in this game. It feels like you're in an ATV.
It does. They really nailed the feeling of...
You really feel like an ATV.
Coming to Pixar this fall.
Now, it's a very fun game. There's not a lot to it. There are a couple different modes. I'll be honest, I played a lot of MX versus ATV as a kid. I played MX versus ATV on Tamed with my brother. We did not actually play the game. We went into freestyle mode and messed around because we thought the ragdolls were fun.
I had Untamed too. We had it for
the ragdoll physics, and there is some in this, but it would continue on as they continue doing more and more of these style of games. Yeah, it's fun. Ragdoll physics is always fun,
especially when with what they do in this game when you hit an out of bounds area in the open world, and they just fling you across the rest of the map. They're like, you've gone too far. Boom!
I think that's just a common thing they do, and I'm willing to bet they just thought it was funny.
Probably,
it's so funny.
Imagine you are in an epic online game, and you are running out of time, and you accidentally do that, and the last bit of time is just watching yourself while someone else is winning.
See, I'm just imagining being the racers, and all of a sudden someone goes out of bounds, and you just hear them like, Yeah. And they're like, what the hell is that?
But
it's that scene in Robots. It's like, Super Me Kid, I know this place like the back of my hand. Hey, that's new.
Boom. I think the racing's probably the drawing point of this game. Like, that's probably what you come for. Like, that's what they were hoping for. But I think why people remember this game and played it is probably more of the party stuff. The trick modes.
Yeah.
Things like especially the trick modes, because it's Tony Hawk.
It's
Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
It's Tony Hawk logic, except, you know, I'm better at this because in real life, me and skateboards get along not good.
Yeah, it's in which any extreme sports type of, like, game would have, like, a Tony Hawk type of mode in it at this point. You know, snowboarding, skateboarding, BMX, scooters, ATVs.
Because the SSX series would have been going on at this point, too, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was the Dave Mirra BMX series that Sean brought up, or whatever
BMX
series he brought up. The extreme sports games are all over the place because Tony Hawk made it a thing. Watch our episode on World Tour, anyway.
Oh, exactly, yes. Where we definitely talk about Tony Hawk in a not Tony Hawk game, in an anime game that is trying to be Tony Hawk. World Tour was a really weird game.
World Tour was weird as hell, brother.
It is, but it's also, can you imagine if this game had a story mode to go with any of this? It's like randomly like, yep, anime-ass villains popping in, go ride your ATV.
That would be...
The aliens from War of the Worlds drop down, and it's just like, the only way you can stop them is by riding ATVs. I feel like we're missing a couple steps.
Where does the ATV come in to play at all?
Well, if you get enough tricks, the alien dies.
Ah, there you go.
You have to meet a certain point quota, and the aliens just spontaneously combust.
There you go.
I would play this game. This fictional game that we've created here, mixing World Tour and ATV Off-Road Fury.
Okay.
So going back to this game and the other modes in it, we are 0 for 2 with good vehicle-based games with hockey modes in them. We are 0 for 2. Good car-based hockey game exist? It does. It's called Rocket League. It's called that one mode in Rocket League. That one is good. But other than that, are there any?
I think partly the controls of the ATV aren't conducive for hockey. Also, it's 1v1. Honestly, like, if you wanted to do something where it was more like foosball oriented, where you were stuck in a lane with like things with that, you could have maybe done something with it instead of hockey. But
I think that would have made it worse.
It might have, but having more ATVs is kind of what I'm thinking.
Okay,
but,
yeah.
But also,
well, there were
you can't have any more. The ice will break.
It's
there were other. You could like have more than one person, but you had to have like actual people. Yeah. You couldn't have bots. No.
Yeah. It weren't good.
No, hockey sucked dick, but the rest of the modes were honestly pretty solid.
Yeah, yes. Tag is really fun.
Tag is really fun.
I'm bad at it because I'm bad at racing games, surprise, surprise. But
Tag was
really fun. Like,
Tag is the most fun I got out of this game.
Because weirdly, this beach ball weighs you down and you suddenly go half speed, it feels like, when you...
Yeah,
ATV motorist just tears the beach ball. There's a 16-ton anvil in there. What the hell?
When did this grand piano get here?
Where did you get that piano?
But there's also, you know, one-on-one races. You can race with a bunch of computers. There's trick modes where you get a bunch of points where Mason somehow beat me by getting 300-plus points. He was down 300-plus points, and it's like 1 second, 0.5 seconds, zero. I've won. What do you mean he just landed a trick at zero? What do you mean? What do you mean?
I was wondering how long it was going to take for you to bring that.
The amount of salt coming off Sean.
Look, I'm bad at racing games. I'm bad at extreme sports games like Tony Hawk, and I was about to win it. It was going to be my crowning achievement in life, and you ruined it.
Victory was snatched away.
I was about to be king of the world.
Just imagine if Sean won. I run down. It's like, guys, I won a game of ATV Off-Road Fury. Get off the street!
You, sir, guess what? It's a lucky day. I won ATV Off-Road Fury points.
Go into the town square and buy the biggest turkey you can. I won ATV.
I have no money, so you're going to have to use your own, but...
I'll cash up you later.
But really, I won't, but don't worry about it.
Unless, of course, I can't find you, or if I forget.
But yeah, this game is fun. I think it harkens back, and we've talked about a lot in a lot of games we've played, games that harken back to sitting on the couch with friends and just playing silly games. And that's kind of what this feels like. But it also did have the online mode. So you could do this with your friends across the globe
if
the PlayStation Online worked at that time.
Yeah.
And believe me, the PlayStation 2 Online was...
spotty at best.
At best.
No, someone sneezed in Korea. I mean, that's bad.
So I just... I think But the ability to be able to sit down and play, you know, maybe you have your 2 liters of soda, a box of pizza, and you're just hanging out with your friends. And this was a game that you probably would have played in the early 2000s, especially. Like, this feels like that sort of game, you know. Maybe your friend didn't bring the Xbox and you only got the PlayStation 2, so you weren't playing Halo tonight. Or maybe you didn't have the GameCube to play Smash Bros. And you're like, well, we got the PS2, let's break out some ATV Off-Road Fury 2.
Man.
It came with it.
You really just made my childhood sound very sad. Because a lot of me playing this game was by myself.
I mean, in fairness, I'm pretty sure I know my brother and I probably raced when we had it, but like, yeah, it feels like that sort of game.
Very, very occasionally I could drag my dad into playing different PlayStation games with me, but that was, again, very occasionally.
My dad watched me play a lot.
Huh.
I mean, me and my brother played first ATV, like I said, but this was my first time playing ATV Off-Road Fury.
Yeah, you played a lot of Rainbow Studios later ATV games.
Yeah.
It's really fun. This doesn't really have anything to do with this game specifically, but bringing up playing these games on the PlayStation just unlocked a core memory for me. I remember there were so many times where, like, I'd be in the middle of playing a game. It might have been Off-Road Fury 2. It might have been... Ben 10 Protector of Earth. It might have been something like that. Might have been Cars even. I'd be in the middle of playing it, and either my mom or my dad would say, "Okay, it's time to eat dinner." So I would pause it and go to eat dinner, thinking that they would leave the TV alone and I could come back to playing it. But then every time they would get the remote and change it to something else in the middle of eating, and I'd be sitting there at the table like, "What the hell, guys?" And again,
poor
stupid,
Mason,
stupid child,
poor Mason.
But yeah,
I think as eras would change, kind of this is kind of that like line in the sand of eras changing of video games. This was, you know, the introduction to online onto this franchise. So it was no longer a sit down with your friends or link cable up and do, you know, I think you could probably do multiple PlayStation 2s.
Like LAN play.
Yeah. Like multiple PlayStation 2s hooked up together. Cause both PlayStations and Xboxes could do that. Especially Xboxes. That was original Xboxes. I remember we would have parties where you would hook up and you could have, I think, you know, if you're playing Halo, you could have up to 8 people with 2 Xboxes hooked up and 2 different TVs. So
how big was the room?
I mean, you just have a TV set up, a big TV set up, and a TV set up on the other side, and everyone's sitting like, come on, Mason. We all hang out.
It's a lot of space you'd need to do that.
No, you don't. Bros.
How big were the TVs?
Bros being bros.
It was 2002, but it can't be massive.
Bros being bros, Mason. Why don't you like the bros being bros?
I like the bros. I have no problem with the bros being the bros. I just want to know how this works logistically.
I was going to bring up something, but it would make no sense to anyone listening. So
I like the bros.
I like it when the bros being bros. I just want to know how it works.
Fair enough. But this game was fun. I think we said the controls were pretty good. They're tight. They feel good. None of us could pull off reverse particularly well.
Reverse sucks dick. In every other kind of game, it's hold brake or double tap brake or something like that. In this, it's hold brake and gas. What the fuck is that? It's how an ATV works. Okay, for a video game, that ain't great.
No.
That's the only control thing where I'm like, yeah, that's bad.
Yeah.
But I also don't know if that's how an ATV works.
But also, it was easy. Tricks are fairly easy to pull off. They're
yeah.
It is fun to pull off tricks. You don't have a huge arsenal of tricks, but you do have a fair amount of different ones.
There
and apparently you can land them in the middle of a river, so that's a thing.
There is. I was still alive.
Now it's moved to all of Europe.
I was still alive when I landed in the lake. It counted. I landed on all four of my wheels. I was still alive.
Oh, look, I'm 20 feet below sea level, but good thing that trick counted.
It did count. I was able to drive out of it. I don't know how, but I did.
Your ATV is fucked backwards.
Yeah, you're.
I hope you know that.
You're, I mean, Thomas's mortal enemy was cacti.
That did happen.
No, my mortal enemy was that one trailer that by all rights should have decapitated. That's... I was going there like 50 miles per hour, just bangs his head, and I'm like, your head's gone.
You just, yeah.
You are officially one head shorter.
So we had a lot of fun playing. We goofed. We were...
This was not a game we took very seriously, but mm-hmm. It's us. We don't take most games we play
there was,
seriously.
Speaking of not taking seriously, there was one point So the way tag works, I guess we should explain, is that instead of like trying not to be tagged by the person like who's it, you want to be it, if that makes any sense. Like there's a ball that like drops in the middle and you want to hold on to the ball for as long as possible, mm-hmm. and hitting the other person moves.
It's kind of more King of the Hill, I guess.
Something like yeah, that. Or like away. Keep away, yeah. And there was one point I had the ball and Sean was chasing me, and at one point I just started driving in circles to like try to throw him off, and at one point Sean just stopped completely and I almost hit him and lost the ball by doing that.
It was
a lot of Looney Tunes-esque things happening
and just a lot of frustration game. On my part, but you know, par for the course.
Yeah. I should have.
The game involves gears and wheels. Sean will get frustrated at some point.
If I was thinking, I would have been like, okay, I want to see Sean and Thomas try to play tag against each other.
How'd you both get zero?
None of us
How
ever
did neither
got.
Neither of you touch the ball at all.
Well, you see, there was a grand piano in the beach ball, and.
See, I'm just imagining it completely off tangent. Did you guys ever watch XFL?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the WWE football thing.
Yeah, that failed mm-hmm. after one season.
Yeah, and then got brought back by The Rock, yeah.
Yeah, the first, because in regular football, it's like you flip a coin and whoever calls it gets the ball.
Uh-huh.
In XFL, you have to do a 50-yard run to it, and whoever gets there first, they have a bit of a tussle.
Okay.
First game of the first season, one of the star running backs did that. Broke his collarbone, couldn't play for the rest of the season. Nice job, dumbass. And I imagine that's what me and Sean would have done.
And they're dead.
And there's Funky. He's dead.
We haven't talked about here one aspect of the game, because, you know, early 2000s game, that licensed soundtrack.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Look, I love it, but it's also the epitome of, oh, yeah, that's a... You want the early 2000s dissected and put in a soundtrack. It's about that.
It was a fun, good soundtrack. Like, yeah. Legitimately, every track were like, oh, that's cool. Except when it randomly would stop.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. But yeah, like...
Which happened in games all the time, especially sports games all the time. It's so weird. You'd be like, where'd the music go?
Where'd the music go?
It's always weird. Like,
but yeah, it's Cypress Hill, Korn, Alien Ant Farm. All stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. It was
my jam.
It was a good. It was
Back in Black was one of them.
I think so. I think so. Yeah, it had a good soundtrack. It was fun. We enjoyed it. We've had a couple fun licensed soundtrack games this season. WWE with those sort of things that have had.
Was Flat Out 2 this season or last?
Flat Out season 2 was last.
Two was
season
first
1.
Season. Was
two
one.
Seasons
okay.
ago. But
we've been doing this a while now.
We've had fun with some of the licensed soundtracks.
Cars.
Mm-hmm.
Cars did have a licensed soundtrack. Yeah.
That's right. It did have some of those. So. Which, again, when you play racing games or sports games in general, so you're going to get those licensed soundtracks. This one was fun.
NASCAR 07.
NASCAR 07 had one. That's true.
Opening with Diary of Jane.
Yeah. Definitely.
And obviously the best licensed soundtrack we had, Larry Boy and the Bad Apple on the GBA.
I mean, no, sorry, the best soundtrack ever. Sorry, we need to go back and do our best soundtrack episode.
And all three of us just have Larry Boy and the Bad Apple on GBA as number one.
But I all think...
All right, guys, we have to limit ourselves to one track from Larry Boy GBA. Damn it!
All of them. That counts as one, right? I'll just link the YouTube video that's just all the songs.
Jeez. That was such a good... That was a fun episode. But I think if I have a nitpick for this game, something that I've said a bunch, but I think some of the UI isn't as intuitive as it should be. But again, especially even in like some of sports, like some of it is just – the menus are just feel at time a little cluttered.
That I can
– at least some of it. Like again, they're fine. I'm not saying like, oh my gosh, they're bad. They break the game or they make it bad or anything. I just felt like they were a little cluttered. But – also kind of par for the course, so like I would nitpick a lot of these sort of races.
The only menu thing that kind of irritated me is when you go to shift your gears and instead of being able to just press start from there, you would have to go back and then press start.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that was pretty common for this era, so I'm not going to hold it against it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like PlayStation... No,
still common nowadays, so...
There's some, PlayStation stuff that just felt a little... on the menu, but again, par for the course. So almost any 2000s game of this ilk, I would probably be nitpicking the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, like, yeah, if we're not playing hockey, this game rocks.
Imagine if that was the
4 out of 5 modes.
Imagine if that was like the first game mode I had you guys play.
And we
would have dropped it.
And we didn't play enough to really unlock. There are other modes you can unlock as well.
King of the Hill and Treasure Hunt.
So like this game has replayability. This game is legitimately very, very full of
content
things stuff to do. Like it just is a lot of it. It was well reviewed. 82 on Metacritic. 9s out of 10s for Game Informer. IGN gave it a 9 out of 10, saying the gameplay is amazing, but the soundtrack sucks. So.
Oh, come on.
So once again, IGN is the worst. It also received a nomination for Console Racing Game of the Year, but it lost to Need for Speed Hot Pursuit 2. Makes sense. This game was praised then, and we'll get to it more when we get to the question, but I think like I really enjoyed sitting down and going like, oh yeah, this kind of takes you back to that time of games, and I think that's the best compliment you can give a game kind of like this that was meant to sit down and play with friends and just have a good time. That if you can sit down and even if you're playing for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, or 2-3 hours, you're probably going to have a good time and fun with friends.
Yeah.
On this podcast, we ask 2 important questions of every game that we play. The first is, how does it hold up?
Perfectly 2002.
Yeah, really well.
That's the best way to describe it. This is like, you legitimately, when you boot it up, it transports you to 2002. And it is exactly, you are feeling exactly like you would when playing a game in 2002.
And you know, honestly...
Mason turns on the game, just vanishes.
Mason's like, oh no!
It's that meme of the guy with the peace out and his bullies.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, change up the menus, like, a little bit, update the soundtrack a couple of years. It could pass for, like, a 360 game. It could pass for a 360 game, I think.
Yeah. I mean, because, honestly, again, it's very simplistic graphics because... They didn't do a ton with the environments. They didn't do a ton with the riders. It's all in gear. But yeah, there's nothing graphically that was like, oh my gosh, that looks super dated. Like that was that's because again of not trying to do too much with it. You know, there really weren't much shots of crowds, so you weren't worried about like the really bad EA crowd looks at the time. And the people are just again, they're just people in gear. So like it looks great. Like. I was thoroughly impressed with the visuals for a PlayStation 2002 sequel PlayStation game that ended up being a game that got packaged a lot with the PlayStation 2. Like that, you wouldn't expect to be like, oh yeah, that graphically looked pretty good.
Yeah.
I think obviously Rainbow Studios found their niche and just stuck with it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, holds up well. The second question we ask of every game that we play. Would you like to see a remake or reimagining of this game in a modern setting.
So here's the big problem with that.
Drop it for $5 on eShop or whatever, but
here's
I'm kind of surprised it's not a part of the PlayStation Store.
Here's the thing.
Like, just because it was such a... Sorry, I keep interrupting you, Mason, but it was such a big part of the online and the packaging that it feels like they have all probably Sony produced it themselves. It feels like something just like they could throw at any point on the...
I'm going to take a wild guess and say I think I know what Mason's going to say.
You probably do. See, here's the issue here with this question, is that if the ATV series on its own was the only series of its kind... I would probably say, you know, maybe not like a complete remake, but like a remaster. Like a remaster thrown on the PlayStation Store, that'd be all right. Only problem is the MX versus ATV series exists, which is basically this, but also with BMXs and monster trucks and trophy trucks and sand rails and basically every off-road vehicle in between. So it's like, why would you... necessarily want to go back to this? I mean, I go back to this one specifically because I played it as a kid.
Yeah,
but
nostalgia.
I can't imagine anybody who hasn't played this game before wanting to play it again.
History, maybe. But
I guess
that's fair.
So if you wanted to throw, I think there's like four games in the Off-Road Fury in the ATV series. I think there's four is what I saw. If you want to put all four in a collection and throw them on the
I think Rainbow Studios and two by a different studios, I believe.
Okay. I don't know who like the if like there's some like licensing issue with that, but if you wanted to do that, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, because after Off-Road Fury, they started doing BMX, they did MX Unleashed, MX versus ATV Unleashed, and then they're just into the MX versus ATVs.
Mm-hmm.
I think just to counter a little bit of Mason's, you know, why would it, you know, I still think like going back and not needing all those extra things and sitting down and playing it, there is value to sitting down and playing this game. And I think on a PlayStation Store, again, I'm not clamoring for a top-down, ground-up, new graphic remake or even a remaster. I don't need an HD remaster, but dropping this game on, like, the PlayStation Store, you know, with your PlayStation Online, you know, with your thing you get there, all those one of those that's just like, oh yeah, it's with the system, you can play it. I would probably sit down and play this at least once or twice a year, probably, if it was on there, honestly. That's and what watch we're gonna go looking like, hey idiot, it is on there, something dumb like
that. Nice job, dipshit.
but I think sitting down and playing it now, I'm like, yeah, this is a game that you can easily just sit down and play for, you know, 15-20 minutes, or if you have friends, you know, because it has a lot of local play, it could have value now, I think. And I understand that, like we said with the Forza game, there are more in the franchise. Why would you go back? Well, I think it's sometimes fun to go back. I think it's fun to play the older games. I think it's fun to play the different ones in the thing. Like, that's, you know, fair. I go back and I'll play different Maddens, you know, at different eras. And I know that's a little bit different because roster stuff and things like that can change. People leave the whatever profession, you know, NFL or baseball or whatever you're playing at the time. So I do understand why you maybe are doing a snapshot at that. But, like, I think there's a lot of value to this. And I don't want to remake. I really don't need a remaster. But I would love this game. And honestly, if you want to throw Off-Road Fury 1 as well on it, that would be cool too. I would sit down and play it. I think they're fun games. I think it's a fun little franchise that I think deserves maybe the ability of a bigger audience to sit down and play it. You know, than just digging up PlayStation 2 and sitting down and being like, kids, this is what I played in 2002. Sit down and play it. Enjoy it. You don't get your Fortnites today.
I guess that's fair. And I did just look it up.
Granddad, I'm 26.
Shut up!
I did just look it up. There are four, and they do all have the same publisher. So I guess if they wanted to, they could bundle them.
Same publisher, different developers?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Because, again, Sony was the main publisher, but also Sony Computer Entertainment and THQ were the publishers for two. So,
the other two were developed by, give me a sec, Climax Racing. So they may have to like work out some sort of deal between all three of them to throw a full collection on there. But if they did, I wouldn't mind.
Yeah. Actually, that would even be something more than just the store. If they wanted to do all four of them on like a, it doesn't even have to remaster, but like on a hard disk that you could play all four of them and have a physical copy, I'd do that. Hey, limited run games, I'd do that.
There you go.
Like, yeah. That actually would be kind of fun. Like, I I'm not saying that these games are, like, something that you have to play or that you're dying if you're not. But I think there's value to them.
I agree. I definitely agree.
So, but yeah, what do you guys think? Do you have memories of playing ATV Off-Road Fury 2? I think I finally really nailed the name after struggling way too much this episode saying it. But what do you guys think? Did you get the PlayStation package? You know, do you have any memories of it? Let us know. Drop us an email. bleepyouplaying@gmail.com. That's bleepyouplaying@gmail.com. Maybe you want us to play a game like this. Well, over on our Patreon, patreon.com/whatthebleep, you can do that. $15 a month, our super bleep head tier, and boom, we'll play it. Boys, you ready to think green and go to war?
Oh.
Next time.
Kill the Tans, baby.
Burn it.